Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi folks, be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Here's our dear friend, the one, the only, and we're blessed, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
How are you?
You know, I've already said happy birthday tomorrow, and as I've already told you, I will never be as old as you.
Where's my present?
Well, just keep watching.
It's in the mail.
Keep watching. I don't know when it's going to get here, but
no, it's been ordered from a company in Taiwan.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's slow boat.
So yes. What's going on in the world of history?
Well, I'm going to talk about two people, and I'm going to bet most people have heard of a good an Indian chief by the name of Cochise.
Oh, absolutely.
But how many people have heard of a guy named Tom Jeffords? Probably not so many.
You're really hitting me with one I've never heard of.
So let me just read his grave marker. It says, Thomas J. Jeffords, 1832 to 1914, friend and blood brother of Cochise, peacemaker with hostile Apaches, 1872. So I'm going to talk about these two guys and their lives, how that intermingled. Now, Cochise was kind of known for being sometimes kind of treacherous, but sometimes very generous.
I thought that was Geronimo was the bad guy.
Yeah, but Cochise was kind of both ways.
Really? Okay?
For example, he had a friend named Tom Gardner, who once was a close friend of Cochise, and he was carrying provisions to a mine near Tucson with a buddy of his, and they saw two Indians coming towards him. Well, he recognized Cochise, and who made the peace sign. Well, Gardner was riding a nice horse. He stopped.
Was it the peace sign or half of the peace sign?
I don't know. I don't know. They made a sign. Well, when he recognized Cochise, Gardner was riding a nice horse, and they stopped to talk, and Cochise raised his rifle, fired, and hit Gardner, shot through the body. Cochise and the other Indian, they left in pursuit of the horse. Gardner was actually taken to Tucson, where he recovered, so he didn't get killed. Okay, so now that's one side. Okay, now in another incident, a guy named William Kirkland was running a lumber camp at Santa Rita, and he was attacked by Cochise and a band of Indians. Cochise told his men to not kill Kirkland, but they ordered him to cook for them, cook a meal.
Okay? Wait a minute. Yeah. He shoots the guy.
No, not this guy.
Kirkland didn't get shot.
No, he didn't get shot. Oh. The other guy did.
Okay.
So Kirkland is kind of taken captive, and Cochise orders him to cook a meal.
Really?
So here's what he says. Kirkland says, I didn't know I could even cook. But
I'll bet he learned in a hurry.
But he said, I found that I cook pretty well. He slaughtered an ox, roasted it, and fed them at his own table. When they finished eating, the Indians just kind of left quietly. So that's
really
kind of two sides of cooking.
There wasn't any thank you?
I don't know.
Did they leave a gratuity of 15%?
Yep. Probably not.
I see.
Now, only Tom Jeffords, that's the guy we're going to talk about, and Cochise became blood brothers by intermingling, and it says supping of the blood from each other's arms in the mystic ceremony of the Apaches.
Oh.
Now, I had heard of intermingling the blood, but I didn't know about that other
part. In the movie Josie Wales, they cut their hands and shook.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Jeffords traveled in and out of the stronghold at will, and he became known as Chickasha. That was his Indian name, or it stood for brother to the Chiricahuas.
Was Jeffords a white guy?
Yes. Yeah.
I know who it is. I just figured it out.
Yeah.
Broken Arrow, the TV series, was named after him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, the mail came through with no trouble as long as Jeffords was in command of the line. And as a pledge of affection, Cochise presented Jeffords with a beautiful constructed rifle, which the captain treasured until he died. And although there were frequent skirmishes later on between Apaches and soldiers, in which Jeffords actually led some of the army, nothing ever came between their relationship. Now, Jeffords must have noted with amazement this really as kind of a fortress of the Chiricahuas for 12 years, ever since Cochise was actually betrayed while he was talking with a young army lieutenant named Bascom and taken prisoner. This Indian leader had ruled over this vantage point, and his braves had become kind of the scourge of the territory. They, you know, they just did whatever they wanted to.
Really?
But in this kind of fortress, they had granite walls as high as 1,500 feet, and this offered protection for the Indians.
This is where the Chiricahuas were.
Right, yeah. And offered protection against any enemy, and his principal stronghold was in the Chiricahua Mountains near Cochise Head. Now, I'm not exactly sure where that's at. But the army was facing a warrior who knew every trail, canyon, and crevice for hundreds of miles in any direction. Cochise ruled the territory all the way from Tucson and Pinos Altos as far south as he wanted to go into Mexico. His braves could travel this land on foot, and we've talked about this before, 75 miles per day over the roughest terrain.
On foot?
On foot. And Cochise had a very reliable smoke signal system.
I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. And he could communicate.
75 miles a day on foot?
Right. I just can't hardly...
You can't make it 75 feet from the car in here.
I know. But, you know, the U.S. troops, they were too slow. They were too thinly spread out. They were often helpless. And only once had they actually scored against the Chiricahuas. And this was at a place called Apache Pass, when a greatly outnumbered and facing sure defeat, a detail of army troops brought up a howitzer. They blew holes in the Indian ranks and killed quite a few of them. But the Chiricahuas were completely demoralized. But Cochise merely changed his tactics. And what he would do then, he just sent out smaller and faster raiding parties and continued doing what he did. Now, the Grant administration, which, according to my article here, says notorious for its blunders in dealing with the Indians.
No, they were.
Became desperate. And in 1871, they sent General O.O. Howard, who was a one-armed hero of the Civil War, to Arizona Territory. And he said, you've got to make peace with Cochise. Well, General Howard, known as the, quote, Christian general, and probably the first officer in the Southwest to use any common sense in dealing with the Indians, heard of Tom Jeffords, who was a guide for the cavalry troops stationed at a garrison in New Mexico. So he sent for him. So he wanted to have somebody helping him out here. So here's what he said. Will you take me to Cochise? And he says, are you willing? And then Jeffords said, are you willing to go there without soldiers? And he said, yes, if necessary. He said, then I will take you to him. So that was the rules. Okay. Now, Cochise was...
He knew where to go.
Yeah, he knew exactly where to find him. So Cochise, greatly distressed by his diminishing number in his ranks, he was at this point ready to talk peace. And he was a wise and a great leader, and he could foresee what was coming, that his people were going to be wiped out. So
I've got to ask you a quick question. I know you're shy on time. What was the relationship between Cochise and Geronimo?
They kind of worked together somewhat. And I'm not sure exactly how that relationship went. But, yeah, they were part of this whole thing, too, as well. So, anyway, Jeffords must have known what an impression it would make on Cochise for the general to come alone, as Jeffords himself had once done. So to go in there alone would be an impressive thing. Well, they were escorted toward the stronghold by a guy named Chi, who was a young chief and nephew of Cochise, and another Indian named Ponce, whose father was a sub-chief. Now, Jeffords, Howard, and a small detail had left the New Mexico garrison with the two braves, and when the party was within 100 miles of the stronghold, the two Indians began announcing their approach by smoke signals.
Really?
Now, this is 100 miles away.
100 miles?
Yeah. So,
was that done by Yuma?
You know, I'm not exactly sure where this... I should have looked on the map to see exactly where this took place. But anyway, 2 days later, all except Jeffords, Howard, and three personal aides turned back to New Mexico for the next 70 miles.
Wow.
The peace party proceeded alone, stopping only for food and water. Now, upon arrival at Cochise's camp, Howard was told he must wait 10 days while a council of chiefs was called. There must be nights spent in consulting the spirits. Although the treaty depended solely on Cochise's agreement, the meeting would be a great challenge to Howard's ability to talk to Cochise.
They didn't really have anything to ensure their safety,
no,
did they?
No, no. But they were relying on Jeffords' being
a friend.
Yeah, friend and diplomacy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and the Apaches had some really good reasons for their distrust of the white men's treaties.
Sure.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
So they remembered how Mangus Colorado, the great chief of the Apaches, had met under a flag of truce with California reserves on their way to the Civil War and had been brutally murdered that same night. So you can see why Cochise was nervous. And then another occasion, they called it the Old Camp Grant Massacre in 1871. Now, this was kind of a Pearl Harbor for the southwestern Indians. Now, this hung heavy, too, in the hearts of the Chiricahuas. The Arivaipa Apaches, a friendly tribe which had voluntarily come down to make his peace with the white men. There was a party of about 146 white men. They became enraged at the Apache at an Apache raid, and they failed to distinguish between good and bad Indians. Well, they moved down to this old Camp Grant where the government had given protection to a tribe of these Indians. Well, it was a terrible slaughter. They killed over 108 Indians, most of which were women and children. Sad. So again, you see why Cochise was pretty nervous about any kind of a treaty. Well, and then these guys that killed all those, they rode back to Tucson feeling quite successful in their revenge. But the responsible citizens were enraged at what happened. President Grant heard the news. He threatened to bring Tucson under martial law unless the guilty members were brought to trial. But the feeling was so strong among the settlers against the Apaches that he only took the jury 20 minutes to free all these defendants, so to speak, that had killed, massacred those Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a sad, bad deal. So Cochise, you know, must have related his own bitter experience with the army to General Howard. And this is what's happened to him in 1856. He had made his peace voluntarily with the white soldiers, riding down to Fort Buchanan and promising that he would not bother the white settlers and that he would even protect them.
What year did you say that was?
This was 1856.
Well, how come we're going back in time when you were talking about 1872 and 1876 a little bit ago?
That's a good question. Well, no, this happened prior to all that.
Oh,
this
all
this
right.
was something
all
that
right.
took place
right.
Several years prior. Okay. So in 1861, this young lieutenant named George Bascom, he was sent to locate a missing Mexican boy. And Bascom invited Cochise and several of his subchiefs to a talk in the lieutenant's tent at Apache Pass, then demanded that the boy be given up. Well, Cochise, he was kind of mad at this. He said, he tried to explain that they did not have the boy, but he would willingly help to try to find him. So Bascom placed them all under arrest. Now, remember, he went in there voluntarily. Okay, well, he placed them all under arrest. Cochise quickly escaped, but was wounded by some soldiers. Six of his warriors were detained. Cochise immediately captured four white prisoners to bargain for their release. Now, so the angry Chiricahuas killed their four prisoners. The six Indian captives, three of them relatives of Cochise, were then hanged by Bascom.
Oh,
so
brother.
See how this goes back and forth?
It really turned into a mess.
Yeah. So now it's 12 years later, and Cochise could wisely see the old ways are going to come to an end. Well, the terms of the treaty were more surprising to Jeffords than anyone else concerned. The stronghold and the surrounding mountains would be reserved for Cochise's people, and Jeffords would become their agent.
Uh-huh.
Now, he agreed on two conditions. There would be no political interference, and he would have sole jurisdiction over who could enter or leave the reservation, including the army. That's what Jeffords said. I've got to have complete control of this reservation. So he controls who goes in and out. All right? So, now it's November 1872. General Howard appointed Jeffords as the official Indian agent. His jurisdiction was over actually the largest reservation in the Southwest. And knowing Coach East, he had a little doubt that he could trust the Indians. But Jeffers, it was the settlers and the army that he was kind of nervous about, as based on past experience. Well, many people were amazed at the control over the Chiricahuas that Jeffers had, and he relied on Coach East's strength alone, the old man now in his 70s, and
Coach East.
And he ruled with an iron hand. And his restless warriors, whose way of life of raiding and fighting had been stopped, and Jeffords was fair, but he was stern. He was the only white man the Indians were afraid of.
Be careful how you talk about people in their 70s.
Yeah, I know. But Jeffords could make them do anything, and they behaved when he went after them. So he was well-respected.
This guy really was the epitome of being caught in the middle.
Right, but honest and fair.
Yeah.
Now, an incident occurred. A Mexican boy was taken by several Braves on a raid into Sonora. So Jeffords took possession of the boy and brought him to the agency. Coach East discovered that many of his Braves were being blamed for the friction caused by other Indians coming into the reservation. And soon, Coach East himself was soon rounding up renegade warriors and returning property to their rightful owners. So they were working together.
Really?
Yeah. Now, a great thorn in Indian-white relations was Coach East's refusal to make peace with Mexico. Now, long before the Americans came to the territory, there had been a lot of friction between the Apaches and the Mexicans, and there was terrorism on both sides. No one knew really how that all started, but it had been going on for years and years and years. Now, over a year had passed since the treaty with General Howard, and there was no complaint from Americans, but there was constant complaining from the Mexicans. The Indians on the Chiricahua Reservation made it a business of just going down into Mexico and raiding every so often. But even then, the seeds of another broken treaty were being sown. Howard may have been too generous that too many Indians other than Chiricahuas were on the reserve, and that it was entirely too big for one agent, Jeffords, to handle. Now, there were also some lighter moments to the job of being Indian agent, and Jeffords visited Tucson quite frequently. Now, Jeffords was pleasant to be around. He had quite a sense of humor. He was the handsomest man in Tucson, quote, so remarkably good-looking that people turned to look when he passed. So a lot like you and I.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So in June of 1874, Jeffords was told by a Brave that Coach East was gravely ill. Rushing to the stronghold, he found his friend near death, didn't know what was wrong with him. Jeffords decided to return to Fort Bowie for medicine. Before leaving, Coach East asked him, quote, do you think, Chickasha, that you will see me alive again? Jeffords replied, no, I don't think so. In keeping with the truthfulness that had always been between the two. And then Koshi said, do you think we will see each other again ever? And Jeffords said, what do you think? Kind of surprised at the question. And Koshi said, I do not know. It is not clear in my mind, but I think we will somewhere up there.
Wow.
Now, isn't that an interesting statement?
Now, were there Christian influences on the Apaches?
You know, I don't know. There was always a higher power, you know.
Well, I know that, but yeah. Did they, a lot of times, the influence of whether it was various factions that came across the West tried to preach Christianity to the Indian tribes?
They did, but I don't know how well it was received.
But they did have that higher power belief.
Well, Jeffords left, and Coach East, predicting the time of his death, died the following morning, and he was dead when Jeffords returned with a doctor that day.
What was the cause?
They didn't know. It was when Jeffords got there, he didn't know what was going on.
Approximately, did they know his age? Or?
Well, they said he was about 70 by now.
I see.
So he was getting up there. But anyway, following the Apache burial ceremonies for a chief, his warriors killed and buried his horse, along with all his worldly goods. Now, upon Jeffords' return, the Braves pointed to a grassy mesa and said this was Cochise's final resting place. The Indians on horseback rode back and forth over an area of several acres until it looked like plowed ground. No one except those present and Jeffords would ever know where he was buried. And that was done among the Indians where sometimes they would bury somebody and they did not want them to be dug up or found.
Right.
Now, Cochise's oldest son, a guy by the name of Taze, he was about 22 years of age, and he'd been selected as the new chief. Cochise's dying words to his people were to find Jeffords and, quote, so long as they obey Jeffords, they would be a happy people. Well, the Apaches moved to the agency, and at the end of 1874, Jeffords reported that they promptly obey instructions and have not been off reservation. They are peaceable, healthy, and contented. Now, it's not exactly clear what caused the final break, but some claim that in 1876, against Jeffords' orders, two white men sold whiskey to some of the Indians who got in a bad way. They ended up killing the whiskey merchants. Well, the government ordered the Chiricahuas to a San Carlos reservation in Arizona, and a lot of the younger warriors objected, and they bolted, they ran, and later joined up with Geronimo. So that's where Geronimo came back in.
Now, let me, we're out of time, but I want to just interject this. Back in the 60s, and you should remember this because you're old like I am, but back in the 60s, there was that TV show, Broken Arrow, that featured the Indian agent Tom Jeffords and Cochise.
Yeah.
So there was a TV series that really did go after history.
Yeah. So, you know what, that's pretty much the story. Jeffords saw that there was a double cross with the government, obviously, and he, in fact, it was said of Jeffords that, as Indian agents go, they said they were all crooks except Jeffords.
Wow.
And he died at the age of 54 in 1880,
At 54?
No, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. No, he died in 1915.
He must have been an old man.
So he was 83, actually.
83,
says, at 83.
Yeah.
But he had integrity, he was honest, he treated him right, and
Everybody else on the outside really caused the problem.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's a good story about Cochise and him.
Yeah.
And I thank you for putting that on. That was good one.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.